This is Cynthia Ganoff, and you are listening to the Mesmerized Podcast. Hello, friends. Welcome to Mesmerized. I'm glad you're here. I have a couple of random things to share with you, some announcements, if you will. And by announcements, this has nothing to do with programming, and it's really nothing most people care about. But I'm going to share with you anyway, because I need you to know these things. First of all, remember how I was talking about Sunless Tanner recently? Sunless Tanner. I can barely say it. Well, I'm really obsessed because I found this one I like, and I need you to know that I think we need a round of applause for myself and the sunless tanning industry, because they've upped their game, first of all, and it doesn't stink anymore. Remember when it used to smell so bad and then you just spray it on and you have to stand there like naked for like an hour and a half, and then there's streaks and you're like, oh my heavens, the whole thing, right? Not anymore. I found one I love, and you spray it on and it's kind of dark so you can see and rub it in, right? And then when you wash your hands, it all goes away. It doesn't stink. All the things. I'm so happy. I've upped my tan game. Okay. So I just need you to know that. And I make no money from them. I can't even think the name of it, but I will try to link it in podcast notes so you can get some if you're interested in that. But it's the small things, you guys. It's the small things. Second of all, do you ever like wake up one day and you're like, when was the last time I actually ordered a new sports bra or whatever the thing is, or a church dress or whatever it is? Well, I'm in that place and I realize like my sports bras and my workout tops are disgusting. Like, where have I been the last 2 years? I don't know if I've done anything since COVID on that in terms of ordering. And so my friend Julie Peek, who recently moved to the Colorado area from Dallas, well, she started an Instagram site called Southern Mountain Girl. You need to follow her. It's Southern MTN for Mountain Girl. Well, she has all kinds of beautiful things, that like everything from tablescapes to flowers. It's beautiful. But she also has like affordable, cute things to wear to different occasions. And I text her, I'm like, my workout clothes, it's dismal. Please help. And she gave me some links. And you guys, I ordered from Amazon and Walmart from where she gave me. And yeah, I haven't upped my workout game, but my workout clothes game is much improved. So that's very exciting to nobody but me. But I needed you to know that. What I have not upped is my funeral dress game. And it has become apparent because I've had a couple funerals, unfortunately, to attend, and another one coming up. That's next on the list. But those are the small things going on over here that I'm trying to really like soak in, okay? Because it's the small things this summer that keep me from losing my ever-living mind trying to do all the things you're doing, work and keep up with kids and drive them around. And JB got to go to the ER last week because he started having these horrible headaches, and we ignored him for a day or two. And then my husband's like, listen, we probably need to go to the ER because like, what if it really is something we'll never forgive ourselves? And so we did, and took him to the children's hospital, and he got a great cocktail for migraines, and we ruled out the scary stuff. And here we are, really nailing it when it comes to making our medical deductible this year after Brett's surgery and all my skin cancers. And anybody else having one of those summers? All right, well, that's where we are. That being said, though, you guys, I'm hoping that you're enjoying the how-to series we're doing. I think you are, because I'm hearing from so many of you. This week, we're doing how do I grieve? How do I grieve well? And I hate to use the word well, because I don't want anyone to say, well, I'm not grieving well. I think however you're grieving is just that's where you are, and that's okay. But my friend Abby Reich is here. I've known Abby for many, many years. Our parents have been good friends, and Abby has a really, really hard story of grief. But what I love about having her on, she was on my old podcast too, is she's walked the unimaginable, and on the other side of it has such a hopeful, great word and practical tips today. And so I'm so glad Abby's here. Abby is starting up a podcast. It's not up yet, but it's going to be soon. And so as soon as it comes out, I'll make sure you guys know about it and promote it, because I want y'all listening to her. But for now, we will talk about all the things, how to catch up with her, and just how to walk through grief. And so glad she's here. Let's go with How Do I Grieve Well with Abby. Abby, welcome to Mesmerized. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Is this the first time? Yeah. This is the first time you've been on my new podcast, right?
It is. And I'm excited.
Well, I'm excited too. Everyone needs a little backstory before we go into a hard turn to a tough topic. But before we get there, I have a puppy over here. I do. And the last thing Cynthia Ganoff needed a month before her book release was a puppy. But my puppy's name is Abby, named after none but
me.
You.
I'm named you. After, I mean, I love having a dog named after me, because people love their dogs. So
people love their dogs. And So it was so funny because our parents have been friends, and my mom's like, did you see Abby has puppies? They're darling. And I'm like, oh, that's too bad. They're in Nashville. And, you know, I live in Dallas. And then I was like, oh, I'm going to Nashville next week. And I'm like, no, we will not get a puppy. Our dog had died in the fall. I'm like, no, we will not get a puppy. And then I'm like, I text you. I'm like, okay, Abby, send me a picture too. And then I'm like, nah. And then what happens? I go to Nashville to speak, and I'm like, I'm coming over to see your puppy, right?
Yep.
And she's darling.
But she was too big to ship. And so I was like thinking you were just going to take her. But then she was too big to ship. But, you know, whenever it's going to be funny because really the whole dog situation ties into the grieving situation because I thought I needed puppies. And anyway, then I got to make a trip home to see my dad and bring your dog. And it just was magical.
Well, that was the other thing that was so funny without boring anybody with the details. So then I was like, I went and saw, of course. I mean, do you ever see a puppy that you're like, well, that one's heinous? No. I mean, of course she's darling. And these puppies are paradoodles, right?
Yeah. Paradoodles.
Okay. And so I was like, well, I can't take her back. She's too big. And Abby's like, well, I'll be in Dallas next week. I'm like, darn it, Abby. And so here she is. And I just showed Abby before we started recording. I just brought our puppy Abby up and showed her. And she is like a horse. But she's so cute. And you know how it goes. She loves me. And you know, these dogs, everyone listening, you know this because I mean, I'm a dog person, fine, but not like a dog person. And my whole family loves her, but she loves me the very most.
I mean, that's always the way it is. I mean, it was crazy because when I was at my dad's for a couple of days before y'all came down to pick her up. And I mean, she was like Velcro to me. I mean, and my dad is so kind and so sweet, and he loves dogs, and all dogs love him. Mm-hmm. And she hurt his feelings because she wouldn't have anything to do with him. And I mean, it was like, just you, I just pick you. And so then I was a little nervous. I thought, oh, this is going to be cute. They're going to pick her up. And then she's going to be all whiny hiding behind my leg. Your dad gets out of the Suburban or the truck. And it was like meant to be. It was like, oh, she who are you? Him. I found my family. They've come to get me.
Well, she's here and she's in trouble a lot, but we do love her. So anyway, that's the backstory. That's like the light-sided backstory of me and Abby. We're going to lure you in with puppies and small, precious things. And then we're going to be like, except where there's some hard stuff too. And so yeah. When I was thinking about this whole idea, Abby, of like, let's talk grief, how are we going to do this? And you've been on before and you've talked grief with me. And I was like, there's nobody else that I'd want to talk to about this because I've watched you live it. You've lived it. You've lived. It's worst case scenario, really. It feels like, and you're still, yeah. And you just have a word and you love the Lord. And so, I'm just going to let you kick it off. We're going to get to your five things, but do you mind giving like maybe a quick recap just of where you've kind of been the last, what has it been 15 years?
17.
18 years?
17.
Years. Okay.
Wait, I mean, as the years pass by, maybe it'll be 18 this year. And it's hard because whenever I tell the story, I mean, I always say that if I had heard my story, I would never listen to it. So I hope that you'll stick with me. And not to, obviously not to make light of it, but being that there's some time, this is not where we're going to sit with it. So, but you have to know where I come from to understand that I have a unique understanding of grief. So over 17 years ago, my beloved husband, my 5.5-year-old daughter, and my 2.5-week-old son were hit head on in a collision. And there were no survivors. And as I've always said, when I got the news, I thought that included me because if the enemy was ever going to get me, it was always going to be through my family because that was the only thing that, you know, mattered or whatever. First 2 years, brutal, super brutal. But I will say that the Lord has been as big. You hear, oh, God is so big. But during that time, I would ask, like, are you this big? Like, are you this big? And the answer is yes, but not in a frou-frou, like, oh, let's pretend everything was great. It wasn't great, but God was faithful even in the just complete thick of it or whatever. When it talks about my grace is sufficient, when people hear it, you can't imagine it. And I always say it's because that wasn't the grace you needed. And the grace only comes the minute you need it. And so the grace came the second that it happened. And it's been with me now going on 17 years.
Yeah. Well, having known you during that time, not well, but knew you and prayed for you and watched you through that hard stuff. And then, you know, just, in the recent years, your mom passed away and it really fought a really hard fight, to pass away. And I was like, nope, Lord, no, we can't, we're not doing this again. Like none of us want to lose our parents, but if anyone deserves to, like, she died in her sleep peacefully. And we didn't get that with your mama either. And that's,
we did not.
Yeah. And so with that background, as I'm making Abby cry, and that one's a little fresher, I know, and I'm a sympathetic crier, everybody. So Stop look out.
It. I'm going to get it together.
You're fine.
I'm getting
Tell
it
me.
Together.
But so with kind of a little background, everybody has different grief they're facing, and Abby's has been extreme and excruciating, and so has yours as you're listening, whatever you know you're walking through, and it looks different for all of us. And so that's why I thought, let's talk about, like, how do we grieve? Like, and you and I kind of laughed before we started. I'm like, hey, well, you're going to give us these five thoughts, these five tips or whatever. What question are you answering? Because I have, how do I grieve? And you're like, I don't know. I'm kind of answering the question of what makes grief so messy, and what are some lies we believe around grief. And so everyone just know, we're going to give you five thoughts on grief, and they're going to fall somewhere between those three titles. We don't know.
We don't know. I still don't know. I mean, and I think that is pretty much sums up grief. I think that when you're grieving, and I know for me after the wreck, I was Googling everything, like, you know, how do you grieve? How do you get to feeling better? How do I make this end? And what you learn is they're just, you know, there's just not an answer. There's not a checklist. So we'll talk about these five things. But the biggest thing, I guess the biggest thing I need people to know is that there's hope. That, and especially because mine is rooted in the faith of Jesus Christ, that this world is our temporary home. And grief does not feel temporary. And so the first, like, biggest mind shift that helped me was, this is not forever, right? Because that's what you want to believe. The enemy will tell you that this is forever. You're going to struggle to get out of bed every day. You're never going to laugh again. You're never going to have authentic smile again. And you're never going to know joy again. And I love how you touched on that. Grief comes in a ton of different packages. My package is very extreme. But I will tell you, I've met people who have gone through devastating divorces, or, I mean, just their grief just does not come with death. Grief comes with your life did not turn out at all like you thought it would be. So I never minimize anyone's pain or when you grieve. But I think that's the first thing, is that even if your circumstances can't change, that there is hope in the midst of the grieving.
Even if your circumstances can't change, there's hope in the midst of the grieving. And so as I'm hearing you say that, what I also hear you say is, as you're talking about the different types of grief, like, if you're listening to this and you're like, gosh, well, I shouldn't be grieving as hard as I can, or I didn't go through that, or, you know, I should be able to get it together. Like, you're just saying, like, listen, the playing field's even in grief. It doesn't matter if it's through death, or it's through loss of what you'd hoped, or for loss of expectations, or a diagnosis with your child, or whatever that thing is, your word is, there is hope. That, yeah, even if your circumstances don't change, can't change, there's hope in the midst of the grief.
Yep.
That's a good word. Okay, what's number two?
Grief is not a one and done. I love to stumble over whenever I'm trying to make a real serious point there. Grief is not. And that's what I've had to relearn, is that grief is certainly not a one or done. And here's the panicky part. for whenever I felt like I had made great strides in my, you know, getting my life back together, moving forward. And that's what I would say. You don't move on, because to move on maybe means to forget. And it's not that you forget, but you do have to move forward, because stagnant water stinks. So you've got to move forward. After you've made these great strides and you feel like you're kind of getting your footing, and then you'll get this wave of grief, and there is this immediate panic that, oh my gosh, I've gone back to the beginning. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've got to redo everything I've already done. And that's where that whole like taking a breath and realizing you're not back at square one, that that is just a natural part of the process, is that there are going to be waves, but I would say 9 times out of 10, they're not nearly like those beginning waves.
Yeah. Because I think that could be so discouraging too, is you've done all this work and you're like, okay, I'm 6 years down the road and I finally have sought the counseling and I've got the community around me. I've done the things I've known to do. And then it hits me one day with nothing in particular. Yeah. And oh my gosh, it wasn't what I thought it was. And so your word is like, listen, it's an upward trajectory, but there's some dips in there and that's okay.
Yes. And so that just doesn't cause the panic.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So grief is not one and done. What's number three?
I mean, these sound so hopeful. So please know that they're not all quite this hopeful, but that your relationships and your friendships are going to change. And it just is. It just is. There is a refining in the grief process and a sifting. And the Lord will bring new people into your life and he will remove people from your life. Mm. And it can feel very scary. Mm-hmm. But, and all I can do is speak from my own experiences. I have a handful of people who have been with me from the start. In fact, I just saw one of my dearest friends who literally sat in the ashes with me and she helped me celebrate my 50th birthday. But I will tell you that there were a lot of people, because for me, I was no longer married and I didn't have kids activities. So I didn't fit in. And so that was another thing that it was just, I wasn't prepared for. And sometimes I just want somebody to tell me the truth. Like, don't give me the like, everything's going to be fine. God never gives you more than you can handle, which is a lie I've been saying for 15 years. It is absolutely more than you can handle. And so you've got to depend on him. But in the meantime, I just wanted someone to tell me the truth. And the truth is, the people around you will change, but it's so critical is that you do allow those new people in.
Yeah. Yeah. And so here's a question. Did you struggle with maybe like bitterness towards people, like maybe people that you thought were your people that kind of unintentionally or maybe intentionally, but they ghosted you. They didn't know what to say. And so like, where'd these people go? Or like they acted, you know, well, where you have all these kids events and you don't have that now. So I don't know how to deal. Like, did you have to work through a bitterness process, or what did that look like?
I mean, do you want my Sunday school answer or the real answer? No, I'm just kidding.
No, give us the real thing.
For real. I mean, yes, it was hurtful. And let me say this. Yes, I have worked through it, because with time comes perspective. So of course, nobody knew what to say to me. It made people very uncomfortable, because people do not handle grief well. Mm-hmm. We don't want to be around someone that has suffered. It makes us uncomfortable. And I think that's something we need to do better with, is that, you know, here's the thing. We can never fix the problem for people. I don't know why we get this in. It's like, oh, if I say the right thing, then it will fix everything.
Right.
And it just doesn't. And so I think just being willing to sit with someone in the uncomfortable silence, I mean, that was like the best gift someone could give me. But yes,
shut up and show up.
Yes. Just show up. And I always say show up and shut up, basically.
Yeah, exactly. We don't need to, nobody needs to hear that. And yeah. Yeah.
I'm very eloquent on top of it.
Well, thank goodness. Right. Right. And so your friendships changed, and the Lord, I assume, brought in new friendships too, as you were kind of mentioning, just people. And were those friendships necessarily people who have walked hard roads like you had, or just necessarily just new people?
Sometimes it was just random new people. And then there were, I will say that then he did bring people who had been in hard places that knew what it was like to sit alone. And so, you know, let me say this now, can I honestly say that I do not have bitterness towards anyone that it was hard for? I don't, because like I've found myself in recent years, if I don't know what to say, I can do the exact same thing. So, I mean, there's just, you know,
there's no perfect way to walk it. Yeah. Yeah. No. Okay. I'm going to interject in the middle of this very heavy but meaningful moments of going through our list of five. I'm going to interject a fun fact about Abby, and then we're going to get back to the rest of our list. How about this, everyone? Abby was on The Biggest Loser.
Stop.
She was on The Biggest Loser. Are we not allowed to talk about that?
Oh, we can. I mean,
false alarm, everybody. She wasn't on The Biggest Loser. I was just, no, she was. And how many years after the accident was that?
So that was in that third year.
Okay.
That was in the third year that I went on that. So then, fun fact, that makes it where it's been 15 years since I was on The Biggest Loser.
15 years. And we won't go into all that, but I think that is interesting. And Abby has written a book. Is it still out there for sale and all the things?
I think it is. You know, it's been, that's been forever too. It's where you can get the grieving process. So if you're in that heavy, thick grieving, I mean, truth remains the truth, even though it's been a minute since it came out.
Yeah. What's it called? Remind me.
Working It Out, A Journey of Love, Loss, and Hope.
Okay. We're going to put that in our podcast notes too, because someone needs to read that. But yes, she was on The Biggest Loser, and you had an injury, and so we didn't get to see you that much. And I was scared the whole time for you. I'm scared of that. Is it Jillian Michaels? Is that her name? I was scared the whole time for you.
You were scared. What are you talking about? No, I actually grew to love her. I mean, It was exactly what I needed. As crazy as it sounds, the Lord just ordained that because it just opened up where everything wasn't so heavy and sad. And that there was something really like completely out of my comfort zone. But every time that I get to share my testimony and point people to the only thing that will ever heal you, and that is Jesus Christ, it redeems it again and again and again.
Yeah. 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 Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, and you got a lot of people got to see Jesus through you in that. So yeah, the Lord's interesting, and the opportunities and the doors that open and all the things. Okay. Number four.
So number four is, okay. So there's that big thing that talks about it's okay to not be okay. And that seems to be this, you know, this big thing is that you don't have to be on all the time. That it is, I always say that, because here's, I know I sound terrible, but like, I know for me that grief can make you very selfish, because you get this lens and you view the world through your lens of pain. Mm-hmm. And so I always say that you're allowed to have the pity party. You just can't stay there. Just like a party, you can't live there. That it is absolutely okay not to be okay, but that can't be where it ends.
And so what does that look like when you're like, okay, I'm living in a place that is no longer, I'm living in the party. Like, any practical steps on ways to work through that?
Yes. Well, it kind of leads into my number five.
Oh boy, this is really getting crazy over here. Okay, what's number five?
I know. Is that it's okay to be okay. There is a guilt that comes when you start moving forward that people will not tell you about.
Okay.
Well, I actually did have, it was the meanest email I ever got in my whole life. And it was basically like, how can you smile whenever you have lost your whole family? Basically, how dare you smile and laugh and do these things? And so while I had somebody on the outside saying that, I've heard from a lot of people, it's their internal dialogue. Well, how dare you smile when this has happened? And so like I said, it's okay to not be okay for that period of time, but you cannot live there. And so then it gets into this whole like giving yourself permission to feel joy again. Because I've always said, if grieving was the proof that you loved your family the most, then I would be the absolute best crier. I would have never gotten out of bed. I would be the best, because I'm going to tell you, nobody loved their family more than I loved mine. Nobody. And so that whole, as you move forward, how do you not feel guilty? And where that really came to be. So 5 years after the wreck, I met and married my husband, TJ, and nobody told me the guilt you feel when you remarry. Mm. Well, because I mean, you know, like dating, you know, you see them, then you go home and, you know, these kinds of things and you can work it out. But then once we were married, well, then you're living together and it's a totally different relationship. And so for me, that was that first year of figuring out that I had fulfilled my vows to Rick, who I loved with every fiber of my being, but I had honored those vows. And so, like I said, it was the 5 years of working all that out, but that there was room in my heart that it didn't mean I stopped loving my family or stopped loving Rick whenever I married TJ. Mm-hmm. And so then that's been the biggest thing, is that with every step forward and with every calendar year that passes, I can't feel guilty for moving forward, and that I get to be okay, that I get to love again, that I get to laugh again, that I get to continue to serve, and that what a glorious reunion it will be, because our time on the time we have here is limited. And so I read something the other day and it said, don't die with your dead. Mm. And I thought, yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't die with your grief, that you do get to joyfully move forward, and it takes nothing away from the people that you loved and lost.
Yeah. And it's kind of like you said at the beginning, when you said there were no survivors and you were convinced, like, that includes me. Yep. And that is not your story, which is beautiful. And
by the grace of God alone.
Right.
By the grace of God alone, because I'm not special. And that's what I tell people all the time. They're like, oh, well, Abby did it, but you know, whatever. And it's like, no, Abby didn't do it. Jesus Christ inside of Abby did that. So the Jesus Christ instead of Cynthia can do that. And the Jesus Christ and whoever's listening, what he can do is beyond what anything we can possibly imagine.
Yeah. And I think that last point is so well taken, that you were saying, like, it's okay to be okay. Like, it doesn't have to be, it can be an and or. Two things can coexist. Mm-hmm. You had this incredible family, you had an incredible marriage, you love them with every being that you have, and you are now able to have this amazing relationship with your current husband, and apparently you love puppies, and you've got me all wrapped up in it. It's a situation that needs to be dealt with, but yes. And so.
Goodness. Okay. So that was, I mean, so we talked about my mom, and that one is fresher grief. And so I do tear up about that a lot, but I thought it was this fantastic idea because, you know, my mother had fought a very courageous battle with ALS. I mean, it was just a hideous and horrifying end. But she is with the Lord, and she is clapping her hands and praising the Lord. And so I praised that with her. But it was, oh, that regrieving was just brutal. I'm not going to lie. So I decided that I needed puppies.
And then I thought, well, Cynthia could have a puppy too.
And then I thought, well, you know, Cynthia made the mistake of reaching out and saying she was interested. And I said, well, babe, we're going to make that happen.
So, yeah. If I have to drive it to Dallas, I will make it happen.
That's right. One puppy is one thing, but I'm out of the puppy business now. But it was, I mean, really, that's what I did. I needed something to take care of and something that was cute and soft and fluffy. Oh, but that season is now over. So.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Talk to us a little bit about the regrieving too. I think I would think
having walked through just excruciating grief and feeling like to some degree, you're not on the other side of it, but you're working through it. And then you have this, like I watched you with your mom, and I mean, very close to our heart too. Our moms are very close. And so, I'm wondering, did you have that sense of like, oh gosh, I'm going back to where I never wanted to go again. This is not even a close example, Abby, but as I'm saying this, I'm thinking of when I had postpartum with my first kiddo. I just didn't know I was postpartum. And so when I had my second one, I was so fearful that I would go back to that place. Like, I just almost didn't want to have a child. And then I remember telling the doctor, I mean, I went through this whole series of things, and I was so scared of being in a place that was so uncomfortable and hard and emotionally unstable for me. And that's a horrible analogy, but I'm wondering, like, does that happen with you? Were you like, oh my gosh, I can't go down this road again?
Oh, yes. And I mean, but see, that's not a bad, I mean, like, because that was real and traumatic in, like, you know, thinking that you like, oh, do I even like this kid I brought home? How can I possibly have another one and whatever? But like with my mom dying, obviously, like there wasn't a choice about it. But I mean, it was terrible. And what I found myself is that I couldn't make a decision to save my life. I started, you know, just doubting. And then you have to deal with all this stuff again and all of that. And then, I don't know if we want to talk about this or not, but honestly, what finally like pretty much pulled me out of it is, number one, that there's no fast tracking the grieving process. I wish there was. And if anyone finds it, let me know, but I've not yet found that. I will tell you that having puppies was not the right answer for me, but it was a great distraction. But what I did do in the month of January of this year, I knew I had to have a better year because the last two had been pretty yuckville. And so I was like, I teach a Sunday school class. And so I'm in the Word regularly and all of that, but I felt so dry and I felt like I want the Lord to be closer. And I was just so feeling empty. And a friend of mine said that she was going to read the Bible in 30 days.
Now y'all realize the whole Bible. We're not talking like the book of John in the Bible. We're talking read the Bible.
Genesis to Revelation. Yes. In 30 days. And I was like, well, you must be crazy. I mean, is that physically possible? Well, come to find out it absolutely is. And it's not as much as you think. I mean, it's a lot, but it's not as much as you think. But it was about 2 to 2.5 hours a day in the Word. I mean, you want to talk about, I guess if there is an antidote to like where you feel empty and devastated and just sad, you just cannot be in the Word enough. And so within the first 3 days, I felt myself coming back to life. And then as I continued on, I had to really guard against, because I struggle with the pride and perfectionism. And so I had to really, like, if I found myself like, oh, I've got to get my checklist off or whatever, I would just stop and I would be like, nope, I'm just going to go spend time with the Lord. I'm just going to go spend time with my friend. And I would listen to it. I know a lot of people are like, did you just sit and read the whole time? Did you do this? And I was not precious about it. Sometimes I read my paper Bible. Sometimes I have my Bible on my Kindle. And I know people get real like judgy about that, but
I mean, not this girl.
Whatever. Sometimes I listen to it.
Yeah.
Sometimes, I mean, there was just no, I just couldn't do it perfectly. I just had to do it imperfectly, because God's word is perfect enough. And it was like he wrote, I mean, I just came back to life.
Wow.
I started being able to make decisions. I mean, it just has been completely transformative. And so I always say, if you feel like you're in just a dry season, get in the Word. And you, there's like some statistic, and of course, I never know that.
Let's botch a statistic to wrap this up. Come on, Abby.
Let's botch it and do it.
29% of people.
Dropped. But it talks about the difference in your life if you're in the Word 4 days a week. that like doing it one day a week or 2 days a week or even 3 days a week, but it really takes that 4 days a week. And so I'm speaking to that person that like is where I was in January, where you're like, okay, or that part where it's like, you're not okay. So what tangible things can I do to be better? And that is to get in the Word. And I always say, if you think you don't have time to be in the Word, then you need to spend double, because it's out of whack. And God's word will not come back void, and it will get you back to, it'll just bring you back to life.
So good. Okay. I'm going to read the five things real quick, and I'm going to end us with one other question for you. Okay. Number one, even if your circumstances can't change, there's hope in the midst of grieving. Number two, grief is not one and done. Number three, your relationship and friendships are going to change. Number four, you're allowed to have the pity party, but you can't just stay there. And number five, it's okay to be okay. And I think that is hard lived truth that you share. And so thank you for being able to articulate that for us. I was thinking about this. You know how The Chosen has been so popular and everybody's watched The Chosen. It kind of gives you these glimpses of different characters in the Bible and of Jesus. And it just feels so real when you see it in that way. And I was thinking, like, for you, having walked really hard roads and also walked really close with Jesus out of desperation many times. Like, what's the sweetest thing that you've experienced or you know about Jesus that you could just say, like, gosh, I wish I could make this living color for y'all that have, you know, watched The Chosen or whatever. Like, I now know this about Jesus, or I've sensed him in this, or I've seen him meet a need this way. Or like, what do you know about Jesus on this side of it?
So when I was coming out of my prodigal years, I always say I was hearing the world's interpretation rather than the word's truth of who God was. And so I had built this up into my mind that, oh, I'm too dirty to go back to church, or I'm too far gone. I knew better. Blah, blah, blah. The Lord's just going to come and knock me down. And whenever I experienced the tenderness of the Lord, when he wooed me back home, and that is where the enemy will always try to get me. It's always like, well, God must hate you. Look what you've done. You're so blah, 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 blah. And instead, God is saying, while you were still in sin, my son died on the cross and rose 3 days from you. Sweet baby, come home.
Come home. But really.
And so, I mean, for anybody that's listening, like, that's just it, is just come home. It's a soft, that the Lord is such a soft place to land.
And with that, I will wrap, because that is such a great word. Abby, though, everyone needs to like figure out how to get more Abby in their life. And so I know you do different projects and different things. And in fact, when I got to go to your house in Nashville, you guys, she literally, now someone's listening, so they're like, you're an idiot. You just live in Dallas, Cynthia, and you don't know anything. She literally lives on a mountain. And I'm like driving down what appeared to be a 2-lane highway in a rental car. And then it's like, turn right here. And then it's straight uphill. And they'd had some snow. We about rolled the car getting up a driveway. And then she kind of referred to us as being too precious, because we Dallas girls couldn't drive up the driveway. But we got up there, and she has the most incredible, like, is farmhouse fair? Oh, it's beautiful. Aww. At the top of this hill. And she is surrounded by just beauty and trees and puppies and all these things. It really is like, it's just beautiful. I know that's, and a lot helps you too with all the grief and just having this place, like your sanctuary, right? You were kind of telling me.
And I'm so sad, because we recently got grass sod. Like real sod and landscaping and stuff. But, you know, there's always a project on the mountain. So just another good reason to come back.
That's right. I'm coming back. But I noticed on the second floor of that house, you had like all kinds of like equipment and things, and for taping and other things. So anyway, just tell us what you're up to and how we can follow you and what you hope to be doing in the coming months and years.
Okay. Well, you know, that perfectionism is not a joke. It's really ridiculous. So this is my office area that I'm in. So I do run an online ministry at rockthis.org. And because my married name is Rockinbaugh, and you can always tell the sign of a really good name is when you have to spend 5 minutes explaining it. So obviously I've picked a very good name for it. But in the works is going to be my very own podcast. And it's basically when life hasn't turned out as planned.
Yeah.
And not in a like, when life hasn't, no, in more of like, that the joys that can be found after, because I don't really know of anybody that's life has turned out as planned, but we're not going to waste it. We're not going to waste it.
Yeah. So, amen.
That's in the word.
Amen. Yeah. Okay. Well, she's on social under, what are you on social under? What
I'm under my, the original, my, late husband's name and my children's name. It's Abby Reich, which is ABBYRIKE. It's like bike with an R. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So y'all follow her. I'll link it all in the podcast notes. And then I'm going to stay on her to start a podcast. So stay tuned, everyone. And when she starts it, we're going to talk again. So thanks, Abby.
Thanks, Cynthia. Bye.
All right. So glad you guys were here. Now, listen, it's not lost on me that I talked about sunless tanning products and workout clothes before we had a serious conversation about grieving. But, you know, that's how it rolls over here on Mesmerize. So I'm always grateful you guys are here. Make sure you check out Abby. Follow her. I will link her book and social and things in our podcast notes. And we have more fun topics coming your way. So thanks for being a part of the Mesmerize family. You guys are the very best.
Big shout out to you for making it through the hectic holiday season. This new year, get clean, quality, pregnancy nutrient support off your to-do list, including Ritual's best-selling essential prenatal multivitamin, designed with 12 traceable key ingredients to support a healthy pregnancy. With big changes coming up, take the small steps now and start today with 30% off a 3-month supply at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.